Well, it's good evening, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you all to give an update of the ministry, what's been going on in Chile. We've just enjoyed ourselves, always a wonderful time. We've just been blessed to be here. The place we're staying is beautiful, right there on the beach. Got there, was a gift basket waiting for our family this afternoon. Enjoyed a wonderful meal with Barry and Cheryl, right? Barry and Cheryl. Yeah, I got the names right. I wonder if I remember the names. This morning when I was praying on the offering, I drew a blank when I was praying for the missionary, and I couldn't remember the name of the country. When I got in the pew, my wife was like, even now. That's why I was afraid to say it, because I can't pronounce things right anymore. But we've been in Chile for almost 11 years, and I remember, when we were on deputation, we had four little boys. And after that, the Lord blessed us with our first and only girl, Ellie, who is now 11 years old. She was 6 months old when we went to the mission field there to Chile. And it's interesting because here we are. We just have three of our kids with us. Our two older ones are already in college. So that's kind of new territory for us as parents. So we go to the field all together. Now we're seeing some of our kids come back. But it's a joy to see them grow up, and I thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to raise our children in Chile. I think it's been good for our family. I want to introduce my wife. Many of you probably have met her, my wife Jenny, and then I won't make you stand, okay, because in a minute you're going to come up and give a testimony. No, just kidding. My wife Jenny, then we have Ellie, Timothy, and Caleb, and I really appreciate my family, appreciate my wife. And I'll say this to you single people. I imagine these guys, y'all look single. I don't know. Maybe you're married. Maybe you got a girlfriend. I have no idea. But I tell you what, marry well. Marry well, because your effectiveness to serve the Lord will depend greatly on the spouse that you marry in the future. And I'm thankful the Lord for giving me a wonderful wife, that when it came time to go to another field, it was not easy. I'm not going to lie about that. My wife comes from an extremely close family, and at that time we had half of the grandchildren with us. So when we announced that, it wasn't easy, but she went with me, thank the Lord. And she has a wonderful ministry there, constantly in touch. Even while we're here in the States, she's constantly texting, chatting with the ladies back there, and has done a wonderful job. So when we show the ministry, sometimes, I guess, as the man, I don't know, as a preacher, we maybe get too much of the credit, but I think that more than 50% of the credit has to go to Jenny and her help there in the ministry. So 10 years, we got there. We spent about the first 3 years working alongside other missionaries or in their ministries. One family, Jason Holt and his wife. Then we went and worked with a Peruvian national there in Chile, Ivan Chacon. And he was single at the time, so we worked with him. And then we planted Hope Baptist Church. I guess that's been, Jenny, about 8 years ago, if my math is right. 8 years ago, we planted Hope Baptist Church. And about 4 years into that church plant, out of Hope Baptist Church, we planted Trinity Baptist Church. And so that is basically where the ministry is right now. So we're involved in church planting in two aspects. One, we as a family plant churches, Hope Baptist Church, out of Hope Baptist Church, Trinity Baptist Church. We're also involved in the Bible College, which isn't a ministry by my ministry per se. It's a team ministry with several other missionary families and national pastors as we teach there. And that really is a blessing to us because it gives us sort of a broader influence. Instead of just training up the guys that are coming up through our church, we get to have part in, I believe there's about 30 students maybe that represent a half dozen churches there in the Bible College. So we have a part in seeing men come out of other ministries and teach them and see them go out and start churches. So we thank the Lord for what's going on. Now, I'd like to show you a video, just about 3.5 minutes, to let you see a little bit about of what God has done over the last 10 years. And so I think about, I guess in 10 years, I would have thought we'd have done so much more. I don't know if you ever have that in a ministry. You think 10 years, long time, we're going to just conquer the world. And there's just not going to be anywhere to plant a church in Chile after 10 years. And it just doesn't work that fast. The ministry can be slow at times. You just got to work and faithfully serve. But over 10 years, we have seen God do a lot. We've seen a lot of people come to know Christ, discipled, families formed, families salvaged, all kinds of things, men called into ministry. So I want you to see a little bit of that, because what you're going to see is fruit to your account. And we're going to speak a little bit more about that fruit to your account. But this is a part of your giving. So you think about that. When you give that offering, when you give to missions, yes, part of that offering goes to us as a family. I've got to feed these guys. They eat constantly. I don't know what it is, but they have to eat. You know, if you skip a meal, it's an emergency. But, you know, it goes to feeding our children. Got two guys in college now. We have those family expenses. But a portion of the support we receive goes directly to the ministry. We help national pastors. We get churches off the ground. And so what you're seeing is the seeds that you have planted through your generosity. And I want you to know that this mission giving doesn't just go so that I can pay the rent or pay my bills or whatever it might be, but it goes so that we can spread the gospel, we can see people saved. So if we can cue up that video, we'll show that video, then we'll come back and share a little bit more. So when you see the faces, each one of those faces, those pictures, represents a story. And I got a book out there on the table if somebody's interested in seeing the landscapes of Chile, but I think that's so much more precious to see people that have come to know Christ, discipled, serving the Lord. And you saw there in that video, I've got his prayer card, Camilo. Camilo came to our church, and then he was the one out of Hope Baptist Church. We started Trinity Baptist Church, pastoring it, and then he came to me, I don't know, maybe about close to a year ago or less than a year, and a lot of questions about missions, and I could see that what was happening, the Lord was leading him to the mission field, and he's made a survey trip to Ecuador, and him and his wife, while he's pastoring Trinity Baptist Church, he's also out about once or twice a month raising support with the idea of going to Ecuador, Lord willing, in 2020, if Lord allows him to raise up and he needs support, he's going to be going. And sometimes we might wonder, why wouldn't he just stay in Chile? Why would he go to Ecuador? Why? There's plenty of space, plenty of need in Chile. And I think the reason is this, is we want the Chilean churches to know that they too can be sending churches. That they too can be participants in the Great Commission, not just people that receive missionaries in their country. So we're really excited, and the churches there are really excited about him and about what God is doing. To be able to send a missionary. Our church there in Chile and our both of the churches in Chile support missionaries. But it's interesting because all the missionaries that we support are actually Peruvians because there isn't that many Chileans that have gone out. They're sort of hard to find. So we're excited to see a Chilean leave his country to go to another country. And just pray for him. He's got a long road ahead of us. Raising support isn't easy here in the United States where there's an abundance of resources, so it's definitely a challenge to raise it there in South America, but the Lord has opened up a lot of doors. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to share a little bit from this book with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You also saw there in the video, one of the things that I'm so excited about is when we planted Trinity Baptist Church. Now, in the ministry, sometimes what we think is failure is God just opening up another door, okay? If you've ever tried anything in the ministry, if you ever tried a special Sunday, an activity, some things just don't work out, right? I mean, you plan and nobody shows up. So when we decided to start Trinity Baptist Church, we decided to start it in a community called Cerro Navia. Cerro Navia is a community that was pretty difficult, kind of a poor area. We just had a difficult time of it. We started church and we just didn't get anybody stable from Cerro Navia. But we did have a family, stable family, that was coming probably about 20, 25 minutes from an area called Quilicura. And he would come down to Cerro Navia for church. Now, driving 20, 25 minutes to church in the States is pretty normal. To do that in Chile, it's not normal because gas is very expensive, or if you're taking the transportation system, taxis, whatever, it can get pretty expensive. But we had a family come, and then eventually another family from that same community, Quilicura, that were coming down the Cerro Navia. And the Lord was blessing. But the interesting thing is we weren't seeing people from Cerro Navia. We're seeing them come from another community. So what happened was we eventually, our contract ran out on the place we were renting, and the family found a place in his community that we could rent. So we ended up moving the church from one community to another community. Sort of felt defeated in that because we just knew God wanted us to start a church in Cerro Navia, but it just didn't work out. What we didn't know when we planted that church in Quilicura was that Quilicura was a community that was receiving a huge population of Haitians that were moving into Chile. So we planted the church there, and not long after, we had Peter came for the first time, a guy from Haiti, had only been in Chile for a couple months, hardly spoke any Spanish, but he showed up anyway. And then after him, another Haitian, until we got a group of about 30 Haitians that are showing up each Sunday. So what that opened the door for us to do was to have a service in Spanish. And when that gets done, the Haitians come in and Camilo preaches. We have a guy that translates his messages to Creole. And we're just praying that one of the young Haitians guys would get that burden, feel the call of the Lord to continue on the ministry. So we praise the Lord for that. And also, Trinity Baptist Church probably is 50% Chilean, 50% foreign. That's Haitians, Venezuelans. We've got people from Peru there. We've got people from Colombia. So Lord, moving that church, the Lord knew what he was doing because he allowed us to have another ministry that we never dreamed we would have had we stayed where we were. So just a wonderful thing. So sometimes when we feel like we may have failed, it's just God moving us into another area. And we praise the Lord for what he's doing there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to share a message with you as we talk about ministry. And we hear the terms like they have a good ministry in Chile. We're going to learn about their ministry. But we must understand that the ministry isn't my ministry. Right? We are all co-laborers together in this thing. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Look what he says. Therefore, seeing, and what's the next word? We, right? He's talking plural. He's not saying, I have a ministry, send me your offerings. No, he says, we have this ministry. Every Christian, every believer has a ministry. You might be sitting here thinking, but I have no responsibility here at Beacon Baptist Church. I don't teach a class. I'm not in the choir. I don't play an instrument. But Paul writes to this group of believers, and he says that we have this ministry. Now, what is this ministry that we have? Now, when we talk about ministry, sometimes we think that ministry is only for a select few. It's only for those that have a four-year degree in a Bible college, right? But Paul is writing to the church body there in Corinth. Now, we know a little bit about their history. If there was a church with problems, it was the church of Corinth. When we think of 1 Corinthians, what comes to mind? What is the description of the church there in Corinth? Go ahead, you can say it out. Carnal, right? They were worldly. A carnal church. In fact, Paul said to them, I want to speak to you as spiritual, but I can't because you're babes, you're carnal. They were a carnal group of believers because they were getting a bit off track. But now he says to them, we have this ministry, right? I mean, what happened in 1 Corinthians is in the past, right? It's forgiven, they've repented, they're back on track, fulfilling their ministry. And so I want to talk to you about the ministry that we have. Now, I know when we talk about ministry, so many times we feel we are not capable of serving God. But let me say this. If you have been placed in the body of Christ, through the blood of Christ, you have an important role in this church. Now, look what it says in chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Because in chapter 3, 4, and 5, he talks a bit about ministry. What he's doing, what Paul is doing here in this book, he's getting that church back on track. They went through a real destructive period in 1 Corinthians. In fact, Paul wrote something strong in them. He said, some have not the knowledge of Christ. I speak this to your shame. So you can imagine a church that wasn't reflecting the love of Christ. He says, some don't know God. They don't know Christ. And that's to your shame. But now look what he says in verse 5 of chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He talks about what we are, that really, if you say, I have no talents, I have no abilities, who am I to serve God? In one way, you're right. Because we're not sufficient in and of ourselves. We're nothing, but our sufficiency is of God. Now look what he says in verse 6. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers. Able, or you could say capable ministers. So if there's someone that says, you know what, I can't serve, I can't do it, I have no talents, I have no abilities, I'll tell you, we are insufficient in and of ourselves. But with God on our side, we are sufficient because he is the one who makes us able ministers. Now, sometimes when God calls us to do something, we like to wrap our excuses in a false humility like Moses, right? When God called Moses in Exodus 3 and 4, he begins an argument with God giving his excuses. I can't speak. Who made your mouth? I don't know your name. My name is I Am. They'll never listen to me. I'll send Aaron with you. And he has excuses, but God always comes back saying he is sufficient, right? That with God, we can do the ministry. And sometimes we think we can't do it, but it is God who wants to enable us to do ministry. So going back to chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That we faint not simply means don't give up. The ministry, the call of God, no matter what the capacity is not always easy. There are difficulties. But he says, we have this ministry that God has given us. If we do not faint, if we stay with it, if we're steadfast, if we're unmovable in the faith. But the point is that we've been given a ministry. And Paul includes all the church of Corinth. Each person, we have a ministry. Now, what is your ministry? How are you serving the Lord? The psalmist said in Psalm 84:10, a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, think about the contrast there. What is a doorkeeper? They're a worker, right? They are actively receiving people. And he says, if I have to do so, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. That is sort of like that lowliest of the servant, right? The doorkeeper, then dwell. Sit around. Do nothing. And don't we want our lives to count? Nobody wants to sit on the bench. We all want to be in the game. And so David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather do something than do nothing. And our heart's desire ought to be the same. Lord, use me in ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. It might be a doorkeeper. Sometimes we overlook those guys, right, that stand at the door welcoming everybody. I went to a church in Cincinnati last week. And this gentleman came to me, Richard, greeted me warmly, smile on his face, asked me who I was, what I was doing there. It was very nice. Then during the service, he got up and he sang a song. And after he sang, the pastor came. And the pastor called all the men in the church forward and they laid hands on Richard, and they prayed over him. And the pastor was making reference to, I know you're going through a difficult time, and this church family's behind you, and we're going to pray for you. And they prayed, and I had no idea what would happen. I had no idea why they called him forward. So after church, I went to him, and I said, Richard, what's going on? I'd like to pray for you. What's happening? He said, I was just diagnosed with cancer. I was just diagnosed with cancer, and I'm just waiting to find out what's going to happen. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, I'm so amazed that you just received that news. And you were the first person to greet me tonight with a smile on your face. And he said, well, this didn't take God by surprise.
He was a doorkeeper. He just greeted me, made me feel good despite his hardships, despite the rough week he just had. He welcomed me to that church. We have a ministry. We are capable or able ministers. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go back to chapter 4, but I sort of want to lay a foundation about the ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, look what it says. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the," what does it say? "Ministry of reconciliation." So when Paul says we have this ministry, and somebody says, "What ministry can I do? I can't sing, I can't play an instrument. What ministry?" This is the ministry that every Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. And what is reconciliation? It's simply taking two people that were enemies and making them friends. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation, and he sort of describes it in verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech us by you. We pray you to Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So when we think about our ministry is simply a ministry of reconciliation, right? That's bringing people together. That might be bringing sinners to God, or that might be even in the church when there's a little bit of conflict or a little bit of disunity among the rest. We want to reconcile everybody together because we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, and every Christian can play a part in that ministry. Now, going back to chapter 4, I'm going to talk about this ministry. How can we fulfill this ministry? We've already seen in verse 1, we have this ministry if we faint not, and that is, do not give in. Don't give up. Don't feel like poor old Gideon when God called him and he said, "But who am I? I'm just a poor man from a poor tribe." What was God's perspective of the situation? "Thou mighty man of valor." We might say, "Lord, but who am I? What can I do? I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know all the answers." But what does God think about us? He's made us able ministers. We have a ministry if we don't faint. And then look what he says in verse 2. "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now, what's he doing in verse 2 there? What does he mean when he's talking about the church? That we have renounced hidden things. We have renounced dishonesty. We have renounced the idea of handling the word of God deceitfully. What's he talking about? He's talking about the way the church used to be. 1 Corinthians, right? You talk about a church that had some hidden things. You ever talk about a church that was walking in dishonesty? You talk about a church that was handling the word of God deceitfully, using, manipulating the word of God to their advantage? He said, we've renounced that. That's not us. We're not like that anymore. Because why? Because we have a ministry. Now, one of the hindrances to ministry work might be sanctification, or what they call that personal sanctification, because God does not want to use a dirty vessel, right? When we talk about God, use me. If God's going to use us, that means we have to be active, right? We have to be in that position so we're usable. Paul couldn't write this to them in that first book of Corinthians. These were the things he wanted to write. He wanted to write, "We have this ministry." But he couldn't in 1 Corinthians because they were carnal. They were filthy. But he had to get them in a position to where they renounced those hidden things. Now, when we talk about, and we talk about training people up, when we talk about seeing these young men come into ministry, while some of them come rough around the edges. Camilo was rough around the edges, wasn't he, Jenny? Oh, you see, That guy, he's still rough around the edges. The kid grew up on the street. Had a rough life. I mean, we had some work to do, and I used to wonder, when his first months, is this guy even going to make it? Is he even going to make it? I just don't know. doing one of the best jobs I've seen. I don't know what it is. He just seems as a gift. He goes into church and he just attracts people to him from all different countries. I get jealous because I go there and I see people from Haiti, from Bolivia, and from Venezuela. And I go to my church, it's only Chileans. And I'm like, what? No. But he's just doing a wonderful job. But what this church had to do, it had to get to the point where they weren't going to give in anymore. Not only were they not going to give up and not faint, but they weren't going to give in. They've renounced some things. Now, if we want to be useful for God, if we want to fulfill ministry, there might be some things that we have to renounce in our lives. There might be some dishonesty, or there might be, as he says here, hidden things that God wants to use. He wants to make us those capable, able ministers. But we got to get to the point where we renounce those things. They're no longer part of our lives. And he says, we're going to renounce those things. We're not going to give in. And then as he goes on in verse 3, he explains what's at stake if we do not fulfill our ministry. He says in verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, verse 4, that's a description of spiritual warfare. We talk about ministry. Ministry's difficult, and it's hard to explain why. I don't think it's the hours, long hours. To me, the difficulty is that spiritual warfare. It's just getting in there and just fighting and seeing people come to Christ and seeing people grow and then seeing them fall back into temptation. And it just breaks our heart to see that. And what's taking place in ministry? Look at verse 4 again. What do we have going on? We have two entities at work, right? We have the God of this world. What is he doing? He's blinding, right? He's blinding the minds or the hearts of the people. Now, what does God want to do? He wants to shine forth the light of the glorious gospel. That is spiritual warfare. That's what's going on all around us, right? When you walk outside of this church, there are two things that are taking place in your life during the week. We have the God of this world that is blinding eyes, and we have the light of the gospel that is wanting to shine forth. Now, we ask ourselves, how does God shine forth the light of his gospel? How does it happen? Through us. We are his lamps, right? We shine forth. And so when he said to this church, at the first, some do not know the gospel, I speak this to your shame. Why? Because they were hiding it. They weren't shining forth. Now he's telling them, he's explaining. He said, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Because the God of this world is actively blinding the minds, right? And I tell you, think about all that Satan is using to blind the minds of people, all the distractions, all the media, all the influence. And here we come with this ministry of shining forth the light of the glorious gospel. Now look at verse 5. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. Sake. Now we talk about a ministry that we've been given. We have this ministry. What is our ministry? It's that ministry of reconciliation. It's that ministry of shining forth the light of the glorious gospel. But there are certain requirements in order that we might fulfill the ministry that God has given to us. And that requirement is we don't give up. We faint not. Now I tell you, you're going to want to faint sometimes. When we talk about ministry, I tell you, prayer letters represent only a fraction of what takes place, right? When I write a prayer letter, we might tell about somebody who got saved. We might tell about a marriage that was reconciled, but I don't write about the ones that fell apart. I don't write about the people that after months of discipleship don't come to church anymore. We don't write about those stories that break our hearts, but we faint not. We keep moving forward. We have this ministry. As long as we don't give in to those hidden things,
that dishonesty. He says, we have renounced those things. God wants to use us. That's his desire. Why does God want to use us? Because like I said in verse 4 and 5, we are his instruments so that his light would shine forth. That's what he wants to do through our lives. That's why renouncing those things is so important. So we don't give up, we don't give in, we must give out. That's a part of shining forth the gospel. Now, verse 5 is sort of a summary of our ministry, and I'm going to finish up right here. Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The focus and the heart of our ministry is the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about Jesus Christ. Think about his person. Think about his attribute. Think about his characteristics. Think about it. You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to describe Jesus Christ to me. We think of loving, compassionate, humble. We think about all these characteristics of Christ. And Paul says, we preach, not ourselves, but we preach, we manifest Christ Jesus. That means all those characteristics that came to our mind when we were describing Jesus in our minds, those are the very things that ought to be part of our lives. Patience, love, compassion, mercy, grace, humility. Those ought to be the characteristics in our lives so that we can manifest Christ. So he says, we preach not ourselves, but we preach, we manifest Christ Jesus in ourselves, your servants for Jesus Christ. Now, there's a twofold ministry in verse 5. Twofold ministry. So we have a ministry, right? Our ministry. We have a ministry. Our ministry is twofold. Number one, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Number two, we are your servants. We serve others. That's it. We preach Christ. We are your servants. Now we say, I want to serve the Lord. I want a ministry. I want to be used of God. What can I do? That's it. We preach Christ. We serve others. Now I'll conclude with this. We can worship God all by ourselves. Right? We can be at home. We can, I don't know, sing the inspirations like the pastor did in the morning service, right? We can sing in our car and we can worship God all by ourselves. Nobody has to be around for God to receive our worship. But you know this, you cannot serve God detached from other people. There is no way that anybody can serve God if it doesn't involve serving others. So when there is a Christian that says, I'm saved, but I have no time for the church, those bunch of hypocrites down there, whatever the excuse I might say, and they say, I don't get along with anybody, you can't serve God that way. There's just no way to do it. Give me an idea. How do we serve God if it doesn't somehow, some way involve touching the lives of another person? It's the only way we do it. So Paul says, we have this ministry. We've been made able ministers, despite our flaws, despite our weaknesses, despite our inabilities, it is God who makes us able ministers. We've been given a ministry, and our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation, of representing Christ, of shining forth the light of the glorious gospel, and we've got to shine it brighter because the devil is working to blind their minds, and so that means we have to shine the gospel evermore. And so our ministry is to shine forth the gospel. Now, my question is, are you completing your ministry, or fulfilling your ministry? Are you fulfilling the ministry that God has given you? We talk about Chile, where we see different mission fields all throughout this mission month. It's not my ministry. It's our ministry. Because we've been given a ministry. And our ministry is that the gospel of Christ should shine forth so that Satan can no more blind the minds of those that believe not. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this church, their generosity towards our family,
their generosity towards the people in Chile. Lord, we are thankful that we've been called to a better life, a more abundant life, that in your work, in your ministry, we do not have to sit on the bench. We don't have to be a spectator, but we can be involved. We can have part. Lord, we've been given a ministry. That ministry of shining forth the light of the gospel. That ministry of reconciliation. Lord, let us not hide our gospel. Lord, let us do what is necessary to carry forth that ministry. Help us to not give up when we feel like fainting. Help us not to give in when those hidden things in our lives want to sort of raise up again. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to please you with our lives. Lord, give us that desire that we might fulfill the ministry that you've called us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.